I'm Kim.
And I'm Danae. Welcome to Mysterious Mavens Podcast.
We are a true crime podcast, but we also like spooky things. But we really, really, really like to self-care for yourself.
What'd you do this week? I like that.
Thank you. I'm like hiccuping, so I'm like, quickly say it before you hiccup.
What did I do? Oh, I went to a yoga class yesterday. It was really fun. It was, my friend from yoga, Heidi.
I was about to say, was it someone? Ooh.
She was doing an event where she teaches at a park. And then this restaurant right near said park is called Esther's. And they were like, anyone who goes to the yoga gets 20% off brunch. And I was like,
obviously.
Yes. So, and all the donations for the yoga, like it was all donation based. So you could like pitch in whatever you wanted if you wanted to donate something. But she works for a veterinary office and she's the financial person, so she's kind of like the one who has to be like, hey, your dog's sick, it's gonna be $8 million bajillion, and then people are like, I can't afford that. So she has this fund that I think it was called Emmy's fund, I want to say.
Okay.
And it's basically like you donate money so that people, when they kind of get that like random thing where their dog or their cat gets sick and then they can't afford it because it's this crazy amount of money.
Yeah.
They can kind of use that fund to help people pay for their pets' procedures, which is really cool. Because it's always like random. It's always like the most random fucking time. And they're like, and it's $6,000. And you're like,
do you remember how Ruger has like random bumps on him? Mm-hmm. Well, we got them checked. It was like 500.
Right. Just to check him.
Yeah. Well, and I went to the doctor and my bill ended up being $3,100. So I'm going to be figuring that out. I'm not.
Oh my God.
That's not.
You don't have insurance?
No, we have insurance. That's with insurance.
Oh my God.
I was there for 3 hours and it was like $26,000.
What the hell?
Our healthcare is a joke. I'm going to figure it out. Yeah. I'll do a payment plan if I have to, but like that's inexcusable. That's inexcusable for what I had done.
Yeah.
With insurance, like get the fuck out of my face.
For real. What did you do?
That's amazing. It was my dad's birthday, so we went to Peyton Manning's restaurant to celebrate it. So
a true Bronco man.
Yeah. So that was, well, it was kind of funny because like I was like, Jesus Christ. I was like, do you just get a restaurant once you win a Super Bowl? Because there's Elway's, there's Shanahan's, there's Manning's. I'm like,
why do we have so many fucking football restaurants?
I mean,
are they good? Probably.
Anyways, okay. It wasn't bad. But I haven't been to Shanahan's, and I assume I would probably love it. I've been to Elway's. It was pretty good. It was good. It wasn't worth how much we paid for it.
Mm.
Does that make sense?
I feel like that's any restaurant.
And I love Peyton Manning. Like, okay. I love Peyton Manning, so it hurts me to say that, but I know.
What kind of food is it? Like, bar food or something?
It was, like, steaks, but there's also sandwiches.
Steaks? So fucking basic.
Like, listen.
Sorry.
I can't eat beef, so how do you think I felt?
Yeah. I'm a Broncos football guy, and I made a restaurant, and guess what we serve? Steaks. Like,
there was two things I could eat there.
Okay. Broccoli and a side salad.
And they had a chicken sandwich, so that's what I had to have. It was funny, because Keith got, like, he got a steak, and then he got lobster mac, and, like, my parents got a sandwich, and I got a sandwich, and stuff like that, and Keith's like, I'll cover this bill, and I'm like, oh, that's so nice, and Keith's like, Yeah, my meal probably costs more than all of yours. So, yeah. So no, I'm not going to make your dad or mom like go 50-50 with us. Yeah. So.
Oh, that was nice.
Yeah.
Well, but, happy birthday, Ken's dad.
Yeah, Jack. Happy birthday, Jack. He's 6'7", so my nieces are doing that all night. Okay, so something we did want to do before we started was we actually were given some perfume from a company called Sakura Bay, and Danae wants to put the notes in it. Do you want to open it? We're going to open it.
We're going to open it. So it's like this cute little box, too, that has a bee on it because I think it means like sugar bee or something like that. And it's so cute. Like, the name of it is I Come From a Long Line of Terrifying Women.
Which is, like, the best name ever.
Seems pretty on brand for us.
Yeah.
Let's see. The notes, scent notes are rosewood, whiskey, amber, gunpowder, guaiac wood. I'm not sure if I'm saying that right. Yeah. And tobacco absolute.
Keep this line of scary humans going strong.
Hell yeah.
So, Sakura Bay is spelled Sukraebeille. And you can go to their website at www.sakurabay.com. And it's just a bee. If you see a bee, and we're also following them on social media too. Yeah. So we're going to spray it and see what we think. Yeah, we're going to tag them for sure. But they just sent us this. We thought it was so nice.
Yeah.
It's not paid at all. They just sent us some stuff. So we thought it was really nice. So
super cool. Handcrafted perfume. Yeah. Let's give it a little spritz. Let that air out.
Gotta let it air out. It
smells good.
Yeah.
It's like warm.
It's like a fall scent to me, kind of like.
It's like.
Gives fall vibes.
It's giving like witchy.
Yeah.
Mysterious.
Witchy woman.
Long Line of Terrifying Women, yeah.
The bottle kind of reminds me, like, the font kind of reminds me of Beetlejuice.
I could see that.
Yeah. But thank you for sending us the fragrance.
Thank you so much. It was so nice.
We'll tag them in our post and everything. So
yeah.
You guys can go find them. But I love the name of I Come From a Terrifying Line.
Oh, cute. And on the inside of this, it says, Welcome to the Dark Side. We smell awesome.
Ooh. I like that a lot.
That's so cute. Yay. Okay. Air it out. Let it set. And then we'll smell each other at the end.
All right.
Okay.
What are you going to tell me about this week?
So... Okay, last story that I did, I was talking about Freedia Gibbs and how she escaped a serial killer.
And she kicked his ass.
And she kicked his ass to the ground.
Mind you, after she had been drugged.
Yeah.
So.
Good for her.
Yeah.
So she's amazing and really, really lucky that she is like a professional fighter because she got away.
And like luckily... That's like he picked her because like she's gonna be like nah,
not today
motherfucker.
So when I was researching her story, like obviously there's some crossover because there's a serial killer, and I was like, oh my god, what is this guy's deal? Like, I've never heard of him, and they call him the Grim Sleeper. And so I was like, what? I don't know. So then I looked into it, and then I was like, oh my god, there's like, he has so many, like, victims that we know for sure, and then victims that we are pretty sure, but don't have, like, hard evidence for, and then just, like, a whole bunch of other people that we're not sure.
So, unrelated but slightly related, I don't know if you heard in the news, but they actually found another victim of Ted Bundy.
Oh, Jesus.
And it's one of those things where he probably killed this many people, but who's to say?
Right.
Because there's a lot that you find out, and like they found
out. And a lot of people that are simply missing and were never found, but he's got like their photo IDs or like something in his possession. So it's like...
Yeah. Israel Keys doesn't look good. Killed a lot of people, and he's like, yeah, a lot of them, you thought it was an accident, but it was totally me, and that's terrifying too.
Yeah, he
was
a creep, dude.
Yeah, so who knows, but that's something I like to say. I mean, like, so Ted Bundy. Lot. Yeah.
Okay, so we're starting our story in South Central LA, okay. And we're beginning with our main guy, Lonnie Franklin Jr. He was born August 30th, 1952. He had a strict,
Virgo?
I think that's a Virgo, yeah. strict, loving upbringing. He and his dad shared a passion for cars. They loved tinkering with them. And, like, it seems like, by all accounts, like a pretty normal childhood.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. So there's that nature versus nurture. Who knows? Yeah. When he hit his teen years, he kind of like hit like a bit of a rough patch where he got into a fight at school and then was expelled. So he worked at a grocery store for a while. And then his family is like, you should really like consider going to the army because there's structure, there's discipline.
So he just got kicked out of school and he's like, never mind on school.
Yeah. And so, and you could also like travel the world, you know, like there's a lot of opportunities that the army provides where they're like, you kind of need this. You need someone to be like, get your shit together.
I think that's good.
Yeah. Figure it out.
Yeah.
So in 1971, at 19 years old, he enlisted in the army and he was quickly stationed in Stuttgart, Germany. So yeah, he gets to see the world. Now, it's pretty much going to go downhill from here. So
so that's all good and great, but...
So there's that. Yeah. So 1974, Lonnie and two of his fellow soldiers tried to kidnap a girl.
Where was this?
In Germany.
Germany?
Yeah. So we only know her as Ingrid W. They held her at knife point, and then they took turns sexually assaulting her all night.
To add, do they know how old she was?
She was young, like I think like early 20s. Aww. And to add insult to injury, Lonnie took photos of her so he could remember the event.
Well,
creep ass.
You kind of alluded to that in the last story about the pictures.
Yeah. So to get out of this like nightmare situation, Ingrid swore she'd never tell anyone about the incident and she pretended to be interested in Lonnie. Like, smart, oh my god, girl, we should date. You're so handsome. Yeah. And he was like, over. And he like gave her his number. Like, but I'm so glad that she realized
he was an idiot. Well, it's fight or flight or fawn.
And she knew he was stupid enough to be like, yeah.
Okay. That's why I'm like, smart girl. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
So she went to the police immediately after they let her go.
Yeah,
and she's got his phone number now. She knows what he looks like, all this stuff. And she told them what happened, and they worked with her to set up a sting operation. Yes. So she called him, and she's like, oh my god, let's go on a date. And he's like, yeah, I love dates. And so they met up with the police, or when they met up, the police were waiting for them, and he got arrested.
So this was in the 70s. Mm-hmm. So they actually like, believed a woman?
Yeah.
Germany. Love that. Yeah, America. I mean, regardless, love that.
Yeah. So he was sentenced to 3 years, 4 months for sexual assault, but he only did a small part of it. Boo!
Did he do one third?
He got out when he was 23. So he did like less than 2 years.
Yep, that's how it is.
Lonnie was dishonorably discharged from the army and then sent back to the U.S.
Why am I not surprised?
So, 23-year-old returned to South Central LA to start a brand new life as a free man, as if that entire sexual assault incident didn't happen.
Yeah, it was in another country.
He's got a clean slate. So, Lonnie put his love of cars to work, and he got a job as a mechanic. And he actually worked for LAPD, like, repairing their cars.
Okay, random.
Yeah. And then later, he worked as a sanitation man. So remember that.
Okay.
He soon met 21-year-old Sylvia Castillo. She was a principal. She took care of elderly people. Like, she's an all-around, like, wonderful woman. Very kind. And she was also from Belize. So they fell in love. They got married. They had two kids. Crystal was born in 1978 and Christopher in 1981. So by all accounts,
cute. Crystal and Christopher.
Yeah, life seems great. You know, he's got a steady job. He's married. He's a family man now. Like, and all his neighbors were like, oh, yeah, he was like the nicest guy. He was so friendly. He was chatty.
It's always the ones you don't suspect.
He was always willing to help. Like, if you had a car issue or something, he was always like, yeah, let me look at it. Like, nicest guy. Everyone knew him. Everyone loved him. So, of course, people were shocked when it came to light that he was prowling the streets at night.
Wouldn't you be also? Like, yeah. Oh my God, that's my neighbor who is so nice, so kids. Helpful. Like, yeah. I just,
when you bring life into this world, like, it kind of changes how you see things. And to, like, have children and still be, like, everyone is a child, you know what I mean? Like, I always, like, yeah. I get so sad when I, like, listen to these things because I'm like, that was someone's baby once, you know? And, like, you don't think about that when you don't have kids. I mean, it's obviously, like, a fucked up situation. Like, you had a good
upbringing, too, which is crazy.
But it, like, it hits a little bit harder, I think, when you're, like, a parent. Like, yeah. How are you killing people? So, anyways, he's prowling the streets at night for, like, years, murdering young black women in the community. And he preyed on people who were, like, poor, and potentially some of them were, like, addicted to drugs. So I want to say that in the 80s, like, this was a really, really crime-filled time, especially in South Central, because the crap epidemic. The crack epidemic was happening. So, like, you know,
well, there was Skid Row. The Skid Row was huge in LA.
And people were like, it's so, so addictive. And it was like,
yeah,
because it was so addictive, people were like killing other people to get it. Like, so it became this horrible thing where crime rates just skyrocketed, and especially homicides. So on top of that, during this time in LA, there were several active serial killers. There was the Night Stalker.
I was about to say the Night Stalker, to name one.
There were the Freeway Killers. There were the Sunset Strip Killers. There was the Southside Slayer Murders.
Golden State Killer.
And there were plenty more. Yeah, like, those were just a few. So, like,
and a lot of those people we didn't find, did we?
Yeah, men are just, like, losing it. Like,
well, what's
killing
changed?
Everyone in LA. Changed? So, I just want to say all this to depict, like, how high murder rates were.
Yeah.
Like, there was a lot going on in terms of, like, how the community was, and then also, like, just serial killers running amok. So, Lonnie's first confirmed victim was discovered January 5th, 1984, 21-year-old Sharon Dismuke. She was shot twice at a gas station, had a rag stuffed in her mouth, and was just disposed of, like, trash.
Oh, my
God. Sadly, there was little evidence that police could gather from this murder, and really the main thing that they got from this was that she was shot with a .25 caliber pistol.
And DNA wasn't what it is now. No. So that rag probably was, like, well.
Yeah. So obviously they, like, collect these pieces of evidence, but they can't do anything with it because it just, the technology wasn't there yet.
What's crazy is they knew the technology was going to be there, so that's good that they collected.
That they were proactive, at least with that.
Yeah.
So the case just unfortunately went cold.
Yeah.
August 1985, a man was walking his dog and he came across the body of a woman in an alley. This was 29-year-old Deborah Jackson. She had 3 gunshot wounds to her chest and was partially hidden under a piece of carpet. Like, just to treat life like that is just horrendous.
Was there any similarities with her and the first woman?
She had also been shot with a .25 caliber
gun. Okay, okay.
So, there were, like, 1,300 homicides that year in this small little area alone.
That is too many. That's, like,
it's a lot.
That'd be, like, 3 a day, right?
Well, and just, like, one of the police officers was saying, like, it was so much that it was like they would go to one, kind of figure out the scene, and then they'd, while at this scene, be called to the next one. And they're like, okay, like,
we're pretty overwhelmed.
I'll finish up this one. You go to that one. Like, it was like, it was
3
insane.
A day. That's insanity.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
However, the police didn't, I think, probably because of just the amount of homicides and, like, just that one detail of the gun similarity, they didn't link Sharon Dismuke with Deborah Jackson. Like,
well,
they didn't
how can
think
you?
There was a,
how can you? Yeah. There's so many homicides. It's like, well.
Yeah. Deborah Jackson was a mother of three. She was battling addiction and poverty, and she was working really hard to regain custody of her kids. She had stepped out one night telling her roommates that she had a debt to repay, and they were kind of like,
don't love that.
Yeah. But they didn't really, like, ask her any more questions, so.
Well, yeah. I mean, how are they to know that, like, violence was going to come to her, you know? So.
And so, during the autopsy, coke was found in her system. But due to lack of evidence, the people in her life, like, no one knew who would do this to her. Like, it just kind of seemed like it was a random, tragic event.
Yeah, absolutely.
And eventually, her case went cold as well. Okay, so there's two families, no answers. Everyone's devastated, obviously.
Yeah, of course.
And at this point, the Southside Slayer is really, like, amping up his game. So he was also targeting black women and just leaving their bodies along highways.
Oh, my God.
So the amount of black women being murdered at this point is just, like, growing exponentially. Too many.
Yeah.
Yeah. And by September 1985, the LAPD described the case at a press conference and asked for tips from the public. Following the press conference, LAPD was highly criticized for their failure to alert the community. Like, bro, they were keeping these cases and they weren't thinking to be like, hey, everyone, potentially there's a serial killer, like, on the loose.
So, potentially there's a lot of serial killers.
But, like, a lot is happening. We're thinking it might be multiple. Like, you should really take precautions and, like, be careful. Like, they didn't tell anyone that. Just like, I'm sorry, what?
That would be top priority. Wouldn't that make your job,
like, kind of, like, easier if you, like, told people and then there were less murders? I don't know. Like, seems stupid. So anyways, this activist named Margaret Prescott and other community activists, they held weekly protests outside of LAPD headquarters to pressure them into, like, actually creating a task force to investigate these murders.
Why, like, did citizens have to do this?
Like, this shouldn't be something that we need to have a constant protest about. You should be doing this.
But also, like, it would make their lives easier, too. So, like, wouldn't you think, like, they would want to do that just to make their lives easier?
Yeah, and, like, so the protesters were like, interesting how y'all came real quick to investigate the Night Stalker, who was targeting upscale women.
I mean, yeah. How much shit have we heard about the Night Stalker?
Yeah.
Everything you can. Like, first person I thought of. This guy, never heard of him.
Yeah.
Southside Slayer, never heard of him.
Right?
This is news to me.
So, it was obvious they were just, like, not giving the proper attention to murders that were happening to poor black women who may or may not have been on drugs. Like, regardless of if they were or weren't, you should still be investigating.
But this was the time
when it doesn't make them a less of a person being an addict.
And this was the time when victim blaming was, like, crazy. Like, well, they shouldn't be doing that.
Shouldn't be out at night.
Like, you shouldn't be murdering. It was like, well, they shouldn't be. And it's like, no. They were just living their life.
How about we teach men to not murder?
Yeah. We shouldn't teach women to protect themselves. We shouldn't have to. Yeah. We should actually do that.
The amount of precautions that we have to take versus men not taking any, like, maybe just don't kill people. Have you thought of that? Like, I don't know. Yeah. Should we maybe, like, provide mental health situations? Like, I could go on. I won't.
Yeah.
Okay. So, basically, they ended up making a task force to investigate properly.
Oh, wow.
Due to the pressure from the community. And they were like, oh, my God, this is, like, it's not looking good on us. It's like, yeah.
Yeah, maybe do this, like, number one. I don't know.
Do better.
Yeah.
Okay. So, they're trying to do better. August 12th, 1986, Henrietta Wright was a 35-year-old. She was found wrapped in a blanket mattress on top of, or in a, ugh, sorry. She was found with a blanket wrapped around her and a mattress on top of her.
Okay, I was like, a blanket mattress? What? It's a very heavy blanket.
It's a really heavy blanket. She had two gunshot wounds, and you guessed it, it was a 25 caliber.
I was wondering. There was a
connection. It was clear that she was murdered elsewhere and then dumped, so at least they of, like, gathered that evidence from it, and then they also have the gun information, but again, not a lot to go
on. So, one of the people you said was killing women and leaving them by the freeway, but it seems like a lot of his people are being like shittily hidden in alleyways. Yes. Like,
yeah.
Like hidden, but like he wants them to be found.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, okay. So that is a difference. Like, yeah. the victims are the same, but like where they're disposed yeah. of. So.
And the Southside Slayer, his MO was more like strangulation.
Okay.
So
okay.
those two things didn't match up
either. Okay, cool. Like, not cool. You know what I mean? But yeah, like, yeah. understandable.
So okay. Henrietta went by the nickname Cody. She worked for the LA school district. She loved playing pool, and she was actually like really, really good at it. Like, she won tournaments quite
cool.
often. Like, her daughter was like, yeah, we had trophies in our house of all the tournaments that she won.
I want to see what a pool trophy would look like. I hope it would have a pool table and them like.
Right. Someone just like leaning over and really getting after it. But so she was a very family oriented woman. She was bubbly, fun, extroverted. She was a super hard worker. But shit got hard when a fire burned down her house. And
oh, my God.
So she lost everything. She lost where she's living. It got really bad. And it was just a horrible low point in her life. And she turned to drugs. So she had been homeless, living out of hotels. She was a single mom of five. Like, trying to provide and make ends meet for her family.
Can you imagine having five kids?
Could you imagine the stress of that?
No.
You don't have a home anymore. Like, ugh. Just, yeah. So, so horrible.
Like, what do you do? Like, what do you do?
Yeah. And so she was a cafeteria worker during the day, cocktail waitress at night.
And so she probably didn't even get to be home, so she really needed the home there.
Yeah. Oh, and for years, her family believed that she was murdered because she, like, stole some guy's drugs. Like, based off of what the police had told them and based off of, like, they knew that she was struggling with drugs, they assumed it was just, like, some kind of, like, drug-related
And they had no choice but incident. To kind of believe that. Yeah. Because, like, what were they going to do to
right.
investigate it?
So it's just sad. Okay, so like I was saying, the Southside Slayer usually strangled victims, but now we've got three women who have been shot by the same type of gun, and so now they're starting to be like, oh no.
There's probably a connection.
This isn't the Southside Slayer, this is some other serial killer. Like, add it to the fucking list. So, January 10th.
Just what we needed.
Another one.
Yeah.
January 10th, 1987. The police department gets an anonymous call from a man who calls himself a witness. He says that he saw someone drop off a body in an alleyway. And then he described the vehicle he saw. So he said it was a white and blue Dodge van, and he provided the license plate number.
Hell yeah. Thank you. Well, okay. But like, wait, I like it. That somebody called, but somebody called and tried to help. So
yeah. So when the dispatcher asked his name, he laughed and was like, oh, hell no. I'm like, I'm staying anonymous. I know too many people. Okay, bye. And like hung up.
Do I blame him?
Right? I don't know. But anyways, so police arrive. They find the victim is in a super dark alley. Okay. And they're like, this is weird. Like, how did anyone even see anything happening down here?
Ooh.
So they were just kind of like their little spidey senses were tingling because they're like, if you didn't know this area, why would you be here? And it's so dark, like there's no way you would be able to see this. Also, she was partially hidden under like a gas tank that someone had removed from a car. So it was hard to see her because of how dark it was. And it was also hard to see her because someone had tried to cover her up.
So somebody might have wanted her to be found, but
yeah.
Okay.
So she'd been shot. We're getting the same MO
with
here.
With a 25 cal.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And police were wondering if this was the killer that was calling in to just like watch the chaos. And they just felt like weird about the call. They're like, that was really strange.
Damn. Whatever. And I was so excited. I was like, oh, someone's trying to help. And then you're like, Kim.
Ugh.
So manage your expectations.
They hunt down the car that this dude had described, and they found it 5 miles from where the body was found. And this was in a church parking lot.
Okay.
Also weird because the license plate was halfway covered. So they're like, how did he know the full plate number if it's like halfway covered? Like, strange.
Sounds weird.
So yeah, they go, they're like, okay, this van is like warm, like it's been run recently. And they're like, oh, in the church parking lot, there's like actually in the church, a service happening. So people are like in there and they're like, okay, we got to go in here and like figure out what the fuck is happening. Yeah. And they go in, they're like, whose car is this? And they're like, oh, it belongs to the church. Like we use it to like transport our churchgoers if they need a ride or whatever.
Okay, so, love that they had that for people.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Really, really nice touch there.
Yeah.
So they impounded the vehicle. They processed it for fingerprints. They interviewed everyone that goes to that church. Dead ends. Nothing.
Yep. So I'm sure that took quite a chunk of time to do.
And back to the victim, because I kind of like skipped a little bit.
No, but you were like, you were telling like where it went.
Yeah. So they found out, they had to identify her through fingerprints because it was that bad.
Oh God.
And it was 23-year-old Barbara Ware. Her family was absolutely heartbroken.
Yeah.
Her stepmom, she was interviewed in two of the documentaries that I watched, and she is just like the sweetest woman. She called her bonus daughter, and she described Barbara as a charismatic person. She said that when Barbara's biological mother passed away, like really suddenly out of nowhere, things got bad for her and she fell victim to drugs. So again,
yeah,
25 caliber gun was used. The investigators determined that at this point they're like, okay, they did some ballistics or whatever the fuck, and they're like, okay, all of these casings were fired from the same exact gun. So now they're linking all these women together.
Okay.
Again, not the work of the Southside Slayer. So they're like,
damn it.
God damn it.
Yeah.
Okay, so now they've got another task force. But it's weird because it's like secret and they don't tell the public about it. So again, like, the first time that everyone is protesting and being like, investigate these murders, that was like kind of for the whole of all of the women from all of the serial killers that had been killed, you know?
Yeah.
And now it's like, now they know they truly do have a whole new serial killer with a whole new MO, and they're still not telling the community. The fuck?
For why?
I don't know. Like, why would you do that? Anyways, so fuck them. So, no, not fuck them, but like weird. Weird choice.
Well, get it together.
Yeah.
Get it together. Get your priorities. Just like at least let people know.
Come on. Let people know.
Yeah. Like they
should be like on the lookout and be like a little bit more, you know, cautious when going out at night. Be on the lookout for weird people doing weird shit.
Well, they've caught people from other people, like see something, say something.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah.
Like, you're not helping yourself.
Yeah, no.
So, April 15th, 1987, a 26-year-old named Bernita Sparks was shot, beaten, and strangled.
Oh, my God.
Also with a 25 caliber gun.
I was going to say, was there a gun, though?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then October 31st, 1987, 26-year-old Mary Lowe was found shot in an alley. She had left to go to a friend's party.
I was about to say that's probably a big night because it was Halloween 2 years and before I was born, but
was found dead.
Yep.
Her family said she was a fantastic dancer. She was actually on American Bandstand and Soul Train, so she was like, she had the moves. And they were obviously super.
Well, you're not on those shows when you don't. Yeah. So,
they're. Now all these people, you know, it's this ripple effect. All these families are grieving losses of these women that were mothers, daughters, sisters, and they have no answers. They don't even know that they are related.
I feel
that these
like
victim that there's multiple victims connected. Like none of these victims were told this is the work of a serial killer and there are other victims that are connected to this.
And maybe people
they all
would've
just think it's isolated tragic events.
And you would think, like, maybe if these people knew, they wouldn't be traveling alone.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, anything.
Yeah.
The more you know. So, January 30th, 1988, 22-year-old Lucretia Jefferson was shot. He doesn't stop there.
No.
September 11th, 1988, 18-year-old Alicia Alexander went to the store never came back home.
So there was like from January to September, there's like, but I'm sure that stuff happened, but it just wasn't confirmed by him.
Yes. There's still like things in between here. So I do want to note that I'm focusing on the people that we had like are confirmed.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Murdered. But there are so many more that they think are linked to him. And that we have some like circumstantial evidence.
No, that makes total sense.
But there's just so many that I'm like, let me get through like
the confirmed ones. Okay. You know? I was just like, that's a long gap.
There's so many and it's so, so sad.
Oh my God.
So all these women were sexually assaulted. So DNA was collected. Awful. But again, they don't have the technology, the database. Like all they really could do was like look at blood type, which is like, not very telling.
That doesn't help you with much.
Doesn't narrow it down by a lot.
Yeah.
So, okay. Then there's the survivors. So, I originally said there were only two survivors. There are three that I know of.
Okay.
So, this is one. November 19th, 1988, Anitria Washington survived an attack where she was shot with a 25 caliber gun. It happened in the same area that all the previous victims had been
found. Where was she shot?
I believe it was the chest because she had a collapsed lung.
Okay, okay.
So she spoke with police at the time, but nothing ever happened.
Of course.
And she was, so her whole thing was she was going to a party. She saw this like cool orange Pinto and she was like, ooh, this looks like a Hot Wheels car.
Yeah.
And there's a dude in there and he's like, hey, I'll give you a ride home or I'll give you a ride wherever you want. And she's like, well, I'm going to a backyard boogie. That was what she said. And I was like, that sounds fun. And he's like, buggy. Can I come? And she's like, sure. So she gets in the car and he's like, well, first I need to go to my uncle's house. I need to get some money.
Shut the fuck up.
And she's like, okay. He goes inside, gets some money, whatever. Comes back in. His whole demeanor has changed. She's like, oh, this isn't like the guy that I was just like kind of having some friendly banter with. He's like a whole different person. Like he's super creepy now.
Oh.
So her, you know, little intuition is like, ooh, this guy is not safe. You need to get out of here.
Yeah.
So she tried to get out. He shot her in the chest. And as she was trying to get out, she was like falling in and out of consciousness.
Oh no.
And when she came to again, he was on top of her. He was raping her. And she blacked out again and then wakes up to like flashing lights of like someone taking a picture of her.
Okay, creepy. That's another part of it.
So yeah. Fucking creepy. So she realizes, she's like, oh my God, are you like taking photos of me? What the hell? And she's like, I need to get out of here. And then he pushed her out of the car and then just like left her for dead, which is horrifying.
Yeah.
So anyway, she kind of like passed out again. She came back to consciousness and she made her way to her friend Linda's house, which was a mile away. Like, she was going to meet Linda at this, like, backyard boogie. And so she's like, okay, where am I, like, trying to figure out where she is? She's like, okay, I need to just go to Linda's house. This is the closest place that I can try and meet her. Yeah. A mile away. She's shot in the chest. She has a collapsed lung. Like, crazy.
It is insane the amount of people who have collapsed lungs and what they can do.
Right?
My friend's lung just one day collapsed.
Oh.
We made jokes about it because it was like,
just out of nowhere.
Because she's just like, she felt like she'd breathe and she'd hear like, fa, 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 fa.
Oh.
Fa, fa, fa. And oh. She was just like, oh, wow, huh. I can't breathe deeply.
Yikes.
So it's really scary what happens when you have a collapsed lung.
Yeah. And like, obviously she's losing a whole bunch of blood.
Yeah, absolutely.
So she gets to Linda's house. She realized Linda was at the party. So she just fucking waited there till Linda got home.
My question was gonna be, was this like later, like after the party ended?
So she waited for Linda to come home. And when Linda came home, that's when like her friend called the police and was like, oh my God. So
crazy that no one saw her within like the mile she walked.
Right. So then they got her to the hospital. They operated for hours and then they removed the bullets. And she gave her description to the police.
Bullets?
25 caliber gun. Yeah. So she
How
was
many
shot,
bullets?
I believe it was twice, I want to say. But I could be wrong. Well, I don't more than have one. It.
Like, once is enough.
Yeah. Okay. So detectives come in. She described the car. She described the man. This actually, like, cracked me up. She was like, he's a short, fat man in a polo and khakis, and he looked like he came out of Circuit City.
You know how I know that's an ancient sentence? Hashtag Circuit City. R.I.P.
Circuit City. So the sketch artist makes a composite, but they don't even do anything with the composite. They don't even, like, send it out to the public. They just, like,
I was about to say, let me guess, close to the chest.
I guess. And I'm just like, well, isn't that the fucking point of the sketch? Like, wouldn't you be like, hey, people, be on the lookout for this guy?
That's why you make the sketch, so somebody can be like, wow, exactly. I remember what, like, that guy looks like. It's not for funsies.
Okay, so then 1994 is when Freedia Gibbs was attacked, okay? And then shit goes quiet. Mid-90s, the CODIS database...
ego was bruised.
Who knows? And, like, experts are like, usually they don't take a break. Like, serial killers of this kind of, you know, where he's killing almost, like, monthly, like, they don't just take breaks and stop for years. Well, the BTK killer did. But he already had kids and stuff. So it's like, yeah, they're kind of like confused, like what life event occurred to make him take.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't even think about that. Yeah. I'm wondering if, like, maybe he was like, I flew too close to the sun. And then, like,
I don't know. Yeah. So by the mid 90s, now we've got the CODIS database that's being built. So we've got a little bit more DNA technology. They're actually putting it into a huge database. But the thing with that is, when they first started, it was only, like, people who had felonies would be swabbed. So it was, like, if you obviously murdered someone, if there was, like, an assault where they were, like, seriously injured, and I think if you, like, raped someone, that those were, like, the three. So any fucking criminal could be out there doing other crimes. But, like, you know what I mean? Yeah. So, like, it's a limited database at this point. So the investigation into the 25 caliber shooter just goes cold. Now, 2000s, the crime was going way down. So police department, like, they actually had time to work on cold cases. So they're like, we need to fucking do this.
I think LA was getting cleaned up by this time. They're like, this crime bullshit's not gonna work. Yeah. So
DNA had advanced a ton, and they were like, okay, let's get to work on these cold cases. Let's start running stuff through the system. Let's see what we can find. Let's get back to it.
Yeah.
So they run the unknown DNA profile through CODIS, and they find that it's connected to a murder of 15-year-old Princess Bartholomew, who had been found murdered in an alley in Inglewood in March of 2002.
So really, so now they're like, that.
Huh, this guy hasn't done anything since, like, late 80s, early 90s, and now he's, like,
starting up back again? Yeah.
So yeah, horrible. 15, and this poor girl, she had such a hard life. Like, her, I believe it was, like, her foster sister was saying, like, when her foster parents adopted her, like, she had one of the worst cases of child abuse in LA. Like, she had been through it. Like, her dad had started pimping her out at 2.
Oh my God.
And luckily she went to live with this foster family that, like, adored her. They loved her so much. Yeah. And they really, like, turned her life around. They gave her this steady and stable home
that she deserved.
And yeah, it was just, it's just, like, so unfair, because I'm just like, she was a child. So then
she had no say in any of that.
No.
No say.
Yeah. And just had, like, it was so sad. Okay. So there was also the unknown DNA was linked to a case of Valerie McCorvey. She had been found dead in July of 2003 in an alleyway. She was a mom who was trying to get clean. Now, both these women were beaten and strangled. So they're kind of like, okay, the DNA matches, but the MO is different.
Yeah, I was about to say, there's no 25 caliber.
So. Yeah, so they're like, what is happening?
Yeah.
Okay, so his identity is still unknown. It's just the unknown DNA, because they don't have anything to link match it to. All they can link it to is cases that have the same DNA.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Yeah, he'd been arrested for like a whole bunch of shit, like grand theft auto, like burglary.
And
like,
they never took his DNA
because it wasn't the kind of crimes that they needed, or that needed to have a DNA swab. So it was still like a lot of crimes, but none of it was like violent charges. He never hurt anyone when he got caught.
Yeah.
So his DNA wasn't in the system. So they're searching. They're like, what the fuck? Then in January 2006, this reporter named Christine Pelisek, she was doing like the true crime section of the LA Weekly. And she would like just go to the coroner's office and be like, hey, like, what's up? Are there any crimes I should know about? And the coroner was like, yeah, dude, there's like 38 black women who they think are victims of a serial killer. And she's like, huh, what? 38? Why have I never heard of this?
Yeah.
And she started digging, and she like realizes that two of those victims were linked via DNA. And another two were linked, or no, the other, was it five? Were linked with the 25 caliber shooting. So she's like, are these all related, or like, are they separate? And she's trying to figure out, but she's like, but also like, I've lived here, and like, why do I not know about this? Why has no one else heard about this?
Well,
like,
friendo, the what police the hell? Didn't feel the need to let the public know.
Yeah. So she figures out there's been a serial killer that's been on the loose since the 80s. He took a break for 14 years, then was back at it. And she's like, it's like my duty to let the community know.
Yeah.
Like, they should know this.
We know. We agree.
Yeah. And so she...
What year was this? I'm sorry.
This was in 2006.
Okay.
So she's like, okay, I'm writing this story. And her editor's like, you need to come up with like a catchy serial killer name. And so she called him the Grim Sleeper because of that 14-year hiatus.
Yeah.
Okay. So families of the victims, once this hits the like news, they're all like, wait, all of our girls are like connected. Like,
wow, this would have been good to know.
We thought these were all isolated incidents. Like, we had no idea there was a serial killer on the loose. Because so people were obviously pissed.
You. Yeah.
And so they posted billboards with the composite sketch that Anitria had given. And they did like an age progression of that sketch. And then they even offered a $500,000 reward for like people who knew who this guy was.
Yeah.
Lots of dead ends. It's so fucked up. But like, one billboard was only two blocks away from Lonnie's house.
Here's my question. So, did the sketch look like him?
Kinda. I mean,
okay.
Vaguely.
I think sketches are kind of hard.
It's kind of hard, yeah. So, January 1st of 2007, 25-year-old Janicia Peters was found dead in a garbage can. She had been zip-tied. He shot her with a 25-caliber gun. But she was still alive and she suffocated, which is just like, oh my God, what an awful way to die.
Yeah.
Janice had struggled with addiction, but she was really making a huge effort to turn her life around. Like, she had recently enrolled in college to start to study computer science. Like, she was excited for the future. So, like,
good for her. She was making plans.
Yeah. So yet another recent victim, she was linked via DNA to the victims of the 80s. So they're kind of like closing in slowly but surely, but like, they still just have this unknown DNA sample that's like,
there's a question mark.
It's tying people together, but they don't know who he is.
Yeah.
And then they also realize, like, they made like a map of all the victims, and they're like, all these people are in like a generalized area, and they realize that Janicia Peters was found in the same area, like same alleyway, that Bernita Sparks was found. They're just 20 years apart.
That's creepy.
Yeah.
That's really creepy.
So after all this time, they're like, you know, we got to go hard to investigate this. We need to figure this out. Like, we need to crack this case. So they are like, we need to go back to Anitria, Washington, and re-interview her. And they just kind of needed to get some more information from her, gather some pieces, and kind of just really try to, like, solve this case.
Yeah.
So she, you know, gave her statement again, and they were like, okay, cool, 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 thank you. Then in 2008, there was a new DNA advancement where you were able to compare familial DNA. So that was huge, because that's been, like, huge for a whole bunch of cases.
Yeah.
Where that, you know, you send in your DNA to whatever, find out
and
your
so
ancestry.
So many people are like, oh, like, I don't want that. And I'm like, I get it to a certain extent, but we found serial killers that deserve to
honestly
get found.
Like, if it helps, and, like, yeah. Yeah. So.
Oh, my great uncle was a murderer.
Get him.
He should be in jail.
Yeah. So July 2010, they get a familial match. And it leads them to Christopher Franklin. So this is his son, who is now 20.
Oh, my God.
He had committed a felony. He had done some stuff. And so he had to submit his DNA.
Yeah.
So it wasn't even the, like, Ancestry.com. It was, like, he was in the system. Now, Lonnie is 56 years old at this time. They, like, are kind of, you know, they start with the familial DNA. They start looking at all the other people around him. They're like, who's the dad?
They create a family tree is what I've heard. And then they're like, oh, this is, like, percentage-wise. Yeah.
But, like, they realize that Lonnie's address is the same street where Anitria was attacked. So
they're like,
and it's very close to where all the victims were found.
I hate to say this, but it was a smoking gun, essentially, that they needed.
Yeah. And then they realized also, because he had worked as a sanitation guy, surprise, surprise, a lot of the victims were found on his work route. He knew all the dumpsters. He knew all the dark alleys.
That's really scary. Yeah. Just something innocuous, like a work route, and you're, like, planning out people you see, and you're like, perfect.
This is a great place to hide a body. Like,
oh,
that's
so scary.
So
that's why it was in the alleyways, too. That's usually where trash is located.
Mm-hmm.
God.
So, obviously, the police can't make an arrest until they have a DNA match. So, they needed to get a sample from him. And there was an opportunity where, basically, they knew he was going to be at this pizza parlor for, like, some kid's birthday or something. And they're like, okay, get an undercover cop in there to be a waiter and collect some stuff that he's eaten.
Napkins, food.
Yeah.
Drink,
all the stuff.
Yeah.
And so they ended up getting a great piece of DNA off of a piece of pizza. And come to find out, it's an exact match to the DNA profile from the cold cases.
Yes.
So now they have a warrant for his arrest, and they also have a warrant to search his residence, and they find over 600 items, trophies, driver's licenses,
pictures,
jewelry, clothing, handcuffs, the gun, and his photo stash. Yep. Over 1,000 images of Polaroids that are just women who look completely out of it, who are completely unaware and are in, like, sexual positions. Like, it's just
1,000 is just too many.
It's so many.
Like, one is too many. You know what I mean? But, like, 1,000 is just, ugh, what the fuck?
So they have no idea, like, who's who? Like, who was murdered?
Yeah.
Who survived? Like, are some of these missing women, like,
well,
we
with
don't
the
know
eyes closed too, it's
and
kinda,
some of them,
yeah, it's kind of hard to, like, at least with not eye color and stuff like that.
So in December of 2010, they released 180 photos in hopes that people could identify these women. And Anitria identified herself. And as we find out, there was another survivor. So this is the third one, LaWanna Wilson. And LaWanna's granddad actually saw her photo on the news and identified her. And she actually had no idea who took that photo. And then she, like, realizes she has this, like, deep, dark, repressed memory from when she was 14.
Oh, 14.
So young. Lonnie Franklin Jr. had raped her and then dumped her on the side of the road.
Oh, and she had, forgot, like, about it?
She, like, pushed it down. And I think that that's a trauma response. Where
yeah.
It's so traumatic, you block it out.
Yeah.
But she saw the picture and she was like, oh, that is me. And, like, it kind of came forth.
Yeah.
So she never told anyone about it. But she spoke to the police. She identified herself in that photo. and let them know that it was Lonnie Franklin Jr. that had raped her. So no one in the community suspected him because they were all like, oh my God, he's such a nice guy.
Yeah.
And he's just like hiding in plain sight.
And when the police asshole thought he could get away with it. Yeah. He's like, I'm just nice old Lonnie.
So when the police question him, he's acting stupid. Like, he's never seen any of these women. They're like laying photos out. He's like, I don't know who that is. And then he even had the audacity to be like, oh, she's ugly. Like, even if
the audacity to kill people and then insult their appearance.
What the hell? And like, if you were an innocent person, right, you would probably be looking at these photos of victims and be like, oh my God, that's so sad. Not, oh, she's ugly. Like, what? Who does that?
That's
so
disgusting.
Anyways, he's disgusting and like horrible. And he like tries to play dumb and they're like, yeah, well, we've got your DNA. And he's like, oh, how did my DNA get on all these people? And they're like, don't be dumb. Like,
you're an idiot.
We got you.
Yeah.
And they're also like, P.S., Anitria survived, so we've got her to testify.
Yeah,
and he's like, huh? Like, he has no idea that there were survivors.
Doesn't he remember?
Well, he left her for dead.
Okay.
The other girl, Luana, he didn't shoot her. So I think that might have been, like, maybe the beginning of what he was doing. But Anitria, he shot and, like, just left her to die.
She, like, beat the shit out of him and ran away.
That's true, yeah.
How do you not? That's immediately, I'm like, anyways,
he's plain stupid.
He's dumb to begin with.
He's dumb as shit. They're like, yeah, so we've got multiple people to, you know, say that you did this. And we have your DNA evidence, which is, like, you can't really argue with science. Like,
I mean, people try.
People try.
Anti-vaxxers.
So, July 7th, 2019, Lonnie Franklin was charged with 10 counts murder, 1 count kidnapping, 1 count attempted murder. Excuse me. He also murdered 6 additional women when he was allegedly dormant, but we don't have enough evidence
to
charge him and to back it up. And then there's the slew of people that were like photos and IDs, and there were missing women and they were never found, or there was just like not, it's all circumstantial.
Sure.
Okay, so his family was like, fuck you, and they stayed silent. They didn't support him at all.
Good.
His wife had like no idea, so I'm sure that was shocking.
Horrific to hear, especially when you have 2 kids together.
Yeah. And the family's victims, they all showed up and they gave their impact statements. They were all like, we're going to be here every single day for court and make sure that he sees us and make sure that he knows that these women were loved and cared for. And he really took something from
Wouldn't
us.
Wouldn't you? Mm-hmm. Like, if that was like,
and even
one of your siblings,
the girl, the German girl, Ingrid, who was assaulted when he was in the army,
she came
all the way to the States to testify.
Love that.
Or excuse me, not testify. She made an impact statement.
Well, sure.
But to
support, which is amazing, the victims, I'm sure.
And he was so disconnected. He brought a romance novel to read while the proceedings were going on because he was like bored.
Oh, like, my God.
What the fuck? He was so like a monster. Like, and he never admitted his guilt. So,
of course not.
Anitria Washington testified. She pointed at him. She's like, that's the guy who shot me. Amazing. May 5th, 2016, he was found guilty. 10 count first degree murder, 1 count attempted, and June of 2016, sentenced to death.
Ooh.
Now, he died in prison.
Yeah, I'm like, ooh, and then I'm like, well, remember what you
said. And they never, like, released his cause of death. So, like, who knows? I hope it was something that made him suffer.
Or something.
Okay, final thoughts. Because, you know, experts are like, why would a serial killer just, like, take a break? His wife was from Belize. So he had connections to Belize. And it's suggested, it's a theory.
Okay.
From law enforcement, not just, like, random people, that he could have been a possible suspect for the abduction, rape, and murder of 5 girls in Belize City between 98 and 2000. So that was a chunk of time where he was supposedly on his hiatus.
Didn't I tell you maybe he flew too close to the sun and that could have been what it was?
And left town and just still
yeah.
was murdering in Belize City.
Yeah.
So it matched up with like the timeline, and also one of the victim's aunts allegedly saw him in Belize City at the time, and the van that he used in one of the proven killings was later found in Belize.
Okay.
So we don't know for sure, but it's a theory. They never charged him with anything because it was all circumstantial, which sucks.
Yeah.
So yeah, that is the story of the Grim Sleeper, the man who really went on a rampage and killed a whole bunch of people and then felt no remorse for it. I'm so glad that he was caught. Like,
me too.
Thank God for DNA evidence.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah,
how awful.
I felt like I had to give some of those other victims, like, say their names, you know?
Yeah,
like,
of course. Of course.
Let their story kind of be told.
Yet another thing we learn with true crime is how many cases we didn't hear about that we needed to.
And it's just sad. Like,
so sad.
It's awful. So anyways, I'll post pictures of him and maybe like the map and stuff. And, mm-hmm. and we'll post that on Instagram. It's Mysterious Mavens Pod on Instagram.
If you want to send us story suggestions, if you want to like tell us self-care tips, say hi, stickers,
literally anything,
compliment Danae in any way, shape or form. Just you can if message you wanna, us.
Yeah. Oh, and we'll post the link to the
Smell Our Arms
perfume.
It smells really, I like
it.
I liked it before, but I like it when it fades too.
I like it. It's like, yeah, I keep thinking it's like witchy.
Witchy woman. But you can email us at mysteriousmavenspod@gmail.com. But yeah, we are on Facebook. We're on TikTok. We're on all the
social meds.
Yeah.
Until next time, friends.
Yeah.
Self-care yourself.
Self-care yourself. All right.
Bye. Isn't that fucked up?
It's so gross. It's like upsetting. Oh, we have to stop the recording. Yeah.
No, that didn't work.
Well, the...
Where's the fucking...
Audio. Oh, yeah.